very hard on fitness and the running game.
That's what kind of led me to want this dream of being a racing driver.
There's no point in talking about anything except standards of excellence.
We will deal with the Tailteann Cup if we're in it, and we will certainly give it every bit of respect.
There's no feeling that beats playing for Ireland. Up the
NFL. My God, I'm going to do everything that is possible to bring us there.
This is Sports Beat Extra on Beat.
A very good evening to you all and happy Easter. Aoife Kearns here in for Andy on this week's Sports Beat Extra. Coming up,
I think he certainly should come into the mix for Henry and Rachel.
Bagnallstown racing reporter Barry Doyle looks ahead to Monday's Irish Grand National in Fairy House.
For me and as a team, we just need to be calm, composed and focused. And Liffey is a good team. I wouldn't put that past them at all. And they can bring it, but I just know we're going to bring it.
We hear from one of the international stars making waves in the Women's Super League from Waterford's SETU Wildcats ahead of the semi-final stages of the competition. But first, either choice would be any United fan's dream. How likely is John O'Shea or Roy Keane to be the next Republic of Ireland boss? Jordan Norris gives us his two cents on the matter.
Sports Beat Extra.
Beat 102-103.
Waterford soccer legend John O'Shea claimed earlier on this week he was ready and capable of becoming a full-time manager, and that follows on from his interim stewardship at the Republic of Ireland that drew to a close this week. Joining me to discuss this and more is sports broadcaster Jordan Norris from Dungarvan, I may add. Jordan, what do you think? Is John O'Shea up to the job?
I think he's probably as capable as anybody else, Aoife, yeah. I mean, like, the two games against Belgium and Switzerland, they weren't earth-shattering performances by any manner or means, but there was signs that there is, you know, a positive culture being fostered by John O'Shea. I think you can see the way that the players have spoken about him in the past week as well, particularly someone like the likes of Seamus Coleman, Darrow O'Shea was quite complimentary, Nathan Collins. Everybody said, like, you know, as a professional and the way that he carries himself, and I suppose for his standing in Irish football, John O'Shea, he brings an aura around with him. And in the sense of what's coming down the line for the Republic of Ireland, like I've written about this week, and I think I kind of believe that this is a risk-free appointment in a way for the FAI, because I think it has to be an appointment that is more geared towards probably the future than the short term. Like, none of us realistically think that Ireland are going to qualify for a major tournament anytime soon. I personally don't anyway, but I think, like, you know, it's about fostering a positive culture and bringing through young players and trying to kick on from that as well. And I mean, that's obviously what we tried to do under Stephen Kenny. It wasn't a success. You can hold our hands up and say that now. But look, a lot of the problems going on within Ireland probably come from a board level within the FAI. It's very hard to work to any, I suppose, goal when things are going so wrong above you. But John O'Shea is definitely, you know, he's put his hat in the ring for it, the way he's spoken, the way he's carried himself. He definitely is somebody that is in with a chance of, but look, the story has in a way run away with itself. Like, I think whoever takes the job now, it's just, we need an appointment now and we need to end the circus around it, and we just need to get on with it, basically.
It has become a slight circus, to use the word that you've just said there. And again, this week, now it's being speculated that Roy Keane may be in contention. So two Man United legends, Jordan, I know you. You're probably happy. You'd be happy to see either of them in the job, would you?
Yeah, but at the same time, Aoife, I suppose you'd be afraid that they might tarnish their legacy. But look, Roy Keane obviously had a quite successful spell when he was the assistant manager under Martin O'Neill. Obviously, we were at Euro 2016 under them. They were some amazing memories for us. We had those famous wins in that qualifying campaign, the win against Germany in 20...
Will Briggs on fire was... What was it?
That was the 2016 Northern Ireland were at it as well, yeah. What's Gala, Freed from Desire, that's the song.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, those memories of that summer were unbelievable for Irish soccer fans out in Lille and all the other areas of France. But I mean, look, we're probably a long way from that now. Roy Keane is somebody that definitely has the respect of the players. I mean, he's been a pundit for quite a long time now. I know the assistant manager's role with Ireland was one that he held for quite some time, but it's nearly 2011, I think it is, since he was actually a full manager, since he was managing Ipswich. I mean, it's a very long time. In 13 years, the game has changed quite significantly. We all know from watching television and Sky how old school Roy Keane is. Some players nowadays, you know, it's a bit more of a sensitive culture and, you know, they need the arm around the shoulder, whereas Roy is quite cutthroat. But look, he's as qualified as anybody else. I think it would be an appointment that would go down quite well with the public. But yeah, I mean, the Daily Mail reports that they've met with him three times. So I suppose, I wonder, is Roy even convinced by the project himself? And obviously there's the history of Roy and Saipan in the 2002 World Cup. So a lot of Irish people still think, you know, that he should never be the manager of the national team. So I think no matter who the FAI appoints, there'll probably be a bit of a public backlash to it. But the name that's going around this week as well, Aoife, is Gus Poyet, the Greece manager. Now, they took on Georgia in the Euro playoff and they actually lost on penalties. So he brought them to within a penalty kick of getting to a major tournament. I mean, that's a fair achievement for Greece as well. So he's definitely in the reckoning. Obviously, he's managed the likes of Brighton, Sunderland before as well. So he's, I suppose he has a designated style of football. Probably wouldn't be the first name that would jump out at you, but I imagine he's in the reckoning too.
And just back to John O'Shea and a point that you raised earlier on, just that he really does have the backing of the player. And I guess those players, a lot of them in their early, mid-20s, probably started watching football where John O'Shea was playing for the Republic of Ireland and Manchester United and all of that. And there's that kind of end to O'Shea, that he is a role model in the context of Irish soccer, you could say. And you think that that could, you know, boost the players a little bit. He's a name and he's very well liked, particularly in these parts.
Well, definitely, like when you look at somebody that's worked with some of the best players probably to play the modern game in recent times, John O'Shea has played with them all. Like he would have shared dressing rooms with the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo, Ryan Giggs, Paul Scholes, Wayne Rooney, you can name them all. And obviously Roy Keane and an Irish perspective as well. So look, John knows what it takes to stay at the top of the game for a very long time. He had a very, you know, consistent, successful spell at United. He was very consistent in his time at Sunderland. He's gone down the coaching route since retiring as a player. And I mean, his coaching CV, I suppose it doesn't jump out at you in a sense. Like, I know he's had an involvement at the under-21s and Reading and one or two more areas. But I mean, someone has to give you an opportunity. And I always look at former players don't always make great managers. And sometimes players that were actually quite average turn out to be amazing managers. Like even you look at the likes of Sir Alex Ferguson and Arsene Wenger, Pep Guardiola. Pep Guardiola, of course, a great player, but some managers that weren't the standout players become the standout managers. And then you look at, say, Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard, Wayne Rooney. It's been a disaster for the likes of them. So
yeah, to an extent, you could maybe argue a Roy Keane stint in Ipswich didn't necessarily go down the best.
Didn't end well, Aoife, that's for certain, yeah, but it was definitely entertaining. I think that's one thing we would be guaranteed with Roy, is a bit of entertainment as well. But yeah, as you say, if you're a young player within that Irish squad and you want someone to be a role model for you, then John O'Shea is someone that definitely, you know, can hold that standing in particular. And I think, you know, it's not just about the playing career, but it's about his knowledge of the game. He sees things, you know, he's tactically aware, that kind of thing as well. There was some, you know, positive tactical aspects to the Belgian performance. I thought Ireland actually did deserve to win that game. Maybe the Swiss game, probably not so much. I thought, you know, it was a bit of a flat performance. They did play quite well in the last 20-25 minutes, but it comes back to the same problem that the last few managers have had. Like, we don't have a goal scorer. I think in one of our qualifying campaigns, Shane Duffy was one of our top scorers. So it goes back to that, you know, do you want to play a results-based style of football where people aren't happy but you're getting results, or do you want to try an entertaining brand where you run a lot more risks? So there's a lot going on. It's hard to know what kind of a style Ireland would implement. Poyet is probably the obvious appointment if you want a certain style. If you want a certain culture, John O'Shea is your appointment. And if you want an immediate fix and go straight for it, it's Roy Keane. So I think it's any of those three. My personal choice would, actually, I would love to see John O'Shea get it. And I think, you know, he would be deserving of the appointment, but I think he'd have to be given time. It would be quite similar to the Stephen Kenny area. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised with anything at this rate, to be honest, Aoife.
Can we go back to the football a little bit and the friendlies that John O'Shea oversaw, you could say, the nil-all draw with Belgium and the 1-0 loss to Switzerland. Obviously, the nil-all draw with Belgium. Belgium being a strong team, ranked fourth in the world. And as you said there, Ireland probably had a good chance of winning that game. So surely that is, of the two games, seen as the most positive result.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I actually saw a journalist tweet the other night, and I can't remember off the top of my head who it was, so apologies to you. But they said Ireland seemed to always perform to the level just below that of the level of who they're playing. Like, they can always get up to the level, but they can never quite get over the line and match it to the sense that they can actually get the result that their performance tends to deserve. But there was some real positive signs in that Belgium performance. I thought Ireland were particularly good in the first half. Look, you miss a penalty, if your fortunes are out from that sense as well. Like, you can go 1-0 up and then Belgium might have to chase the game and you can come out a bit more. So again, it comes down to fine margins. Like, you look at somebody like Evan Ferguson, we can all see the talent that's there with him, but the goals are just dried up at the moment. But you can see once one comes, you'd imagine a few will as well. But there's some good young Premier League players in the Ireland squad, like you've Ogbeni at Luton, you've Amad Bamadele is at Nottingham Forest, Collins at Brentford, Queevan Kelleher is having an unbelievable season with Liverpool. So, look, there's something for whoever comes in to build around. In the Swiss game, I thought, yeah, they did lose 1-0 and it was a flat performance, but you didn't say, you couldn't really argue too much as well that Switzerland, say, deserved to win. The goal itself was a free kick on the keeper's side. Maybe, I don't know, should Gavin Bazunu have done better, but look, that's up for debate. But even still, there's fine margins for Ireland now. It's just a matter of tidying that up. There's promise there for whoever comes in, but like, confidence is low. I suppose public expectation is low. So to try and lift that and, I suppose, garner a bit of support behind the team is going to be difficult for whoever comes in. But again, that comes back to the FAI.
The FAI Director of Football, Mark Canham, also saying this week that a permanent Republic of Ireland manager will be appointed by early April. So hopefully we won't have too much longer to wait. I have to say, though, Jordan, is it just me or is there maybe the most amount of hype around this Republic of Ireland team in the lead up to this? Who's going to take over? Who's not going to take over? Is Stephen Kenny going to go? It's being talked a lot more than maybe what it was, the squad as a whole. Do you think that the Irish people, I guess, you know, are kind of finally at the point where they want to really get behind the squad? The women did great, like qualifying for the World Cup. Now it's up to the lads.
Well, to give it the nail on the head there, really, Aoife. Yeah, like, I mean, there's momentum behind women's football in this country and we want to see that from our men's team because I suppose traditionally that's where it's come from. We've had the major tournament experiences in recent times, Euro 2012, Euro 2016, and the qualifying campaigns since then, they've been really disappointing. You know, like, we haven't really been close to getting to a tournament since, well, I know we had the Slovakian penalty shootout defeat in 2020 and the COVID times, and then obviously got hammered by Denmark for the World Cup 2018. But like, ever since then, since Stephen Kenny kind of came in that kind of era, like obviously post Mick McCarthy, it's been a real disappointing time. Like, I mean, some of the countries that we've actually got our results against, like, have been, say, the likes of Gibraltar, Qatar, Oman and friendlies. I mean, like, the teams that were beaten are so far below us in the world rankings. We're slipping in the rankings. Our coefficient's lower. We're going to be lower seeded in groups. So we're going to get tougher draws for World Cups. Like, even to be in a group with the Netherlands and Greece the last time, and obviously I think we're in, I know off the top of my head, that Germany are in our pool for the World Cup the next time as well. So it's going to be increasingly difficult. But you're right, there's been a circus around this at the moment, and I think the FAI have actually lost control of the story itself. Like, they had a disastrous appearance before the Public Accounts Committee. There's obviously in-house problems as well that need to be ironed out before you can kind of see the results on the pitch. I'd always go back to the example of, even the example of Manchester United, right? Like, you see all the stuff that's going on there at boardroom level with the past 10 years, and then it's obviously been a period where success has been quite barren for the club. If you don't have your house in order, it's very hard for you to get things right on the pitch level as well. So, look, no, whoever inherits Ireland, like, I think, look, if Pep Guardiola was the Ireland manager, he'd have a difficult job getting us to a tournament. So it's difficult. The structures, the culture, everything has to change, but that's not going to happen overnight either.
Does the circus suit them, do you think?
Oh, definitely. I mean, like, there's always been a circus around the Ireland job. I think it comes part and parcel now at this rate. It's been expected with so long. I think, I mean, really, it comes back to the John Delaney time and the champagne football book from Mark Tighe, everything. People will probably dig for controversies within Irish football now, Aoife. Like, I think it's become to be expected of Ireland. I think it's about now steadying the ship, trying to get rid of the controversies and focusing on actually qualifying for tournaments.
Sports Beat Extra. Beat.
We're just hours away from the semi-finals of the Women's Basketball Super League, where the SETU Wildcats take on Liffey Celtics this evening from 7 o'clock. Earlier on in the week, I caught up with one of the stars for the Southeast side, Jade Compton.
I'm from Dallas, Texas, and I actually play here professionally basketball.
And how long have you been here, Jade?
I've been here since December.
Right. And what has the Southeast been like for you of Ireland?
I really like it a lot. Very rainy. I didn't really expect that. Well, I should have expected it since we're 30 minutes from the coast, but it's gorgeous. It's amazing. The people are amazing. I really enjoy it.
And you're playing with the Waterford Wildcats. It's been a fantastic season for them so far. And I mean, to get to the semi-finals of the Super League, it's a huge achievement for the club.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. We've been working hard, so well deserved.
Yeah. And what's it like playing with the girls? And I guess, I suppose, in terms of a culture shock, is it a big change from, I suppose, what you used to be playing, or where did you play before?
I played Presbyterian College, in the Big South Conference. We actually made it to the championship, but they lost this year. But in terms of the girls, they're amazing. Like, we merged immediately. It was very kind of weird and freakish how comfortable it was. And they were like, same for us. Like, we didn't expect it. And so they were just open. Like, everybody kept it real. I kept it real. It's just a loving environment. Like, I couldn't ask for a better team. Like, I'm really blessed to be on this team.
Yeah, and I would have interviewed a few of the girls over the years, and I was just chatting to them beforehand, and I was like, does Jade have a preferred position? And one of the girls was like, Jade can play anywhere. So where are you playing? And I guess, are you kind of someone that likes to play, I guess, in a few positions around the court?
I guess I'd say I'm a guard forward-ish. Mm. Obviously, height is going to give me guard and I can shoot. But, like, I attack, I pass, I rebound. So, like they said, anywhere, if you put me anywhere, I make it work.
Yeah.
For the most part.
And looking at Ireland and Irish basketball, a lot would argue that it's the women's game that's at, like, maybe the more elite level, and they're certainly quite popular. Mm-hmm. I suppose coming into it and coming into the Super League, what has your experience been like so far?
Aggressive. I think that has been the word since I've been here. They're very aggressive.
Mm.
And so I feel like playing at a higher division in college, obviously they're aggressive, we're quicker, but it's more skillful. But here is muscle. Like, they're going to try to boom, bang you. I really didn't expect that from playing in different countries. Mm. Some people were more weaker, but here they're trying to give it to you. So I kind of like it. You know, it makes me want to be stronger as well. So I like it.
And I guess it's very interesting that you could say that. Obviously, you've played in other countries as well, because the thing about Ireland is it's our background in Gaelic games, Gaelic football, camogie, and it's very physical for a female sport. Mm-hmm. Anyone that has ever played, do you think that might be a factor in it?
I definitely think that's a factor. Even from coaching, all the girls was like, I didn't know, like, I couldn't push him while I go up for a layup. I'm like, no. Basketball is physical, is not that physical, okay? So I think that has a lot to do with it. But obviously, basketball, you have to be aggressive as well. It's just be careful how aggressive you are.
As I played a little bit myself, you have to stare into their soul. I was told once, would that be about right?
Yeah, literally. The stare gets you, I guess.
Looking ahead to the game on Saturday, and obviously the Liffey Celtics, quite a successful team. They've won Super Leagues in years gone by. How do you think you are heading into the game? And I guess, you know, looking at this as an opportunity, as I said there, it's been a while since the Wildcats have gotten this far or gotten to this level or gotten past this level. So I guess, is there a lot of pent up energy, nerves, etc. before this game?
Like I spoke with Nigel about, I said I'm very calm. That's how I was before the Father Matthews game. That's how I feel now. And I feel like for me and as a team, we just need to be calm, composed, and focused. That's it. And Liffey is a good team. I wouldn't put that past them at all. And they can bring it or they can't bring it, but I just know we're going to bring it. And I said, all our focus needs to be is on us, right? Critiquing what we can do better, you know, critiquing from what we did the last game, you know, but always keeping it bounded to us. Mm-hmm. Like, we know how to play our game. We know what we can do. All right, so just show them what we can do to the best of our ability. So I feel really calm right now. You know, I know it's the day before the game, but I just want to keep that calmness.
For anyone who would like to come along, I'm sure the support would be welcome. Mm-hmm. Where do they have to go? Or I'm sure that they can see it streamed online as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, they can. Well, we're playing at Liffey, so I don't know the exact address, but I'm pretty sure you can find it.
In Leek Slip in County Kildare, I believe.
Boom, there we go. We if not, I mean, you can follow the Wildcats Instagram. I'm pretty sure it'd be everywhere. And then just listen to the radio. They'll let you know.
Yeah, well, best of luck and lovely to meet you, Jade.
Thank
and
you
I
so
hope
much,
maybe after your stint here in the Southeast, you might stay another year. I know that the girls would probably love that too.
Hey, who knows what the future endures. So I love it here, though. Thank you.
And tip-off at the Leek Slip Amenity Sports Centre is at 7 o'clock this evening. Now to finish on some horse racing, Barry Doyle is up next.
Here we go. This is Sports Beat Extra.
We're just days away from the Irish Grand National, and that takes place on Easter Monday. So joining me to discuss some of the big players in that one is racing journalist, Bagnallstown native and podcaster Barry Doyle. So Barry, what are we looking at with this year's Irish Grand National?
Yeah, but to be honest, I suppose, look, typically you have the 30 winners. I think ground conditions this year, and I suppose the gap between Cheltenham and Fairyhouse seems this could be a small field for National. And so, well, look, 26 runners at the moment left in there. The ground likely to be really, really testing as well. So that might scare some of the opposition away for the likes of Mick Rocket, who has proven form, of course, on soft ground. Woody Mullins trained Mick Rocket. What a fantastic Cheltenham it was. Of course, he's over 100 winners at the Cheltenham, well, yeah, Cheltenham Festival winners, of course, at Cheltenham just passed. And he's operating at a really strong strike rate at the moment, so what he wants. He's the favourite, Mick Lockett, at the top of the markets. And intense raffles, Tom Gibney's charge. He won the race, of course, with Lean the Barony a couple of years ago, back in 2012, actually, when Tom Gibney won the race. But intense raffles was interesting, I suppose, building up to the Buzz Sports Irish Grand National a couple of weeks ago. Aoife, Sandy Shaw, the Irish handicapper, did mention that this is one horse he doesn't really seem to get a handle on because he's really liked the races. And he had two runs in Ireland in his life. And he's rated 140. He could be absolutely thrown in off that type of mark. And as Sandy Shaw said, he could have given 150 or a mark of 130. So Desert Morehouse is a horse that would have given a very life chance to Fermart and Brazel if the ground had come up a little bit nice. So I think he's going to bypass this weekend and head for Aintree instead. And Harker Derek, obviously, for Gavin Cromwell, a very interesting runner as well off the back of his Leinster National victory, 7 years of age. Just have a little bit of stamina concerns for him. He's stepping up and tripping 3-1 here to 3 miles and a half, and 3 miles, I should say, and 5 furlongs. So the old boy, he'd be some story. At 12 years of age, Ted Walsh has charged any second now. But I promise you, this is not trying to please the Waterford crowd here, but Senior Chief is the one I actually like in the race. Rachel Blackmore will be on board for Henry de Bromhead. Henry, of course, bidding to win the race for the very first time, of course, was very well supported last year. Am I right? I think this year has been strong in the market. Senior Chief, novices have a really good record in the race. He's only 7 years of age. He jumps well for a novice. And I think, crucially, he's 2 from 2 on heavy ground, which is likely to be on Easter Monday. So I think he certainly should come into the mix for Henry and Rachel Blackmore. It takes plenty of boxes for Monday.
So it sounds like if we back local, we just might get lucky this year when it comes to the Irish Grand National. Barry Doyle, I'll have to leave it there. Thanks so much, our regular racing contributor, Barry Doyle, from the champ.ie website and podcast.
Sports Beat Extra.
Beat 102-103.
That's all for this week's Sports Beat Extra. You can listen back on our website at beat102103.com/podcasts. Now Megan's up next with Beat Anthems.